Alrighty, so let's pray. Father, thank you. You have words of life for people this morning. I pray that people would hear your words through my words this morning. Father, our hearts are open to receive. Speak to us, Lord. We can hear your voice, for we are your sheep. Everyone said amen. Praise God. I'm doing a brief series on how to hear God's voice. This is the second one in the series. And I'm just going to recap briefly what I went over last Sunday and maybe just throw a few extra bits in as well. So how do we hear God? You know, what would it be like to be able to be in contact with the person who knows everything about everybody, about everything, from beginning to end? He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen in the world. He wrote it in the book, you know, so long ago. And God's really big on prophecy. And he said, and I will show you things to come. Now, he's not just talking about the rapture and stuff like that. He wants to tell you about things that are about to happen in your life. I know I've told the story before, but I was just minding my own business on my bed in Dunedin. And I just felt that God wanted me to quit my job. I was a high school teacher. I ran a music department at Logan Park High School in Dunedin. It's a very successful music department, which I built from scratch. I had a good thing going there. But God said, you, I want you. You know, sometimes people think God picks up the dropouts and the layabouts and the people who are on drugs and uses them powerfully for healing ministry. And he does sometimes. But, you know, in my experience, sometimes God takes the most skilled, the most gifted, the most diligent people who have got really successful businesses, doctors, lawyers, and he calls them into ministry. Why? Because they've been faithful with the natural. And God says, if you're faithful with the natural, I'll give you the spiritual. I'm not saying God can't use losers, but, you know, if you were an employer, would you employ a loser? Just saying there. Be diligent in whatever God has given you to do. So it was hard for me to give up the music department, but you know, not really, because when God puts his hand on your life, how are you going to say no to that? So I went to school the next day and I told the boss, I said, I'm quitting. And he says, what do you mean? I says, oh, God's called me to the ministry. And this was like term three. And he said, well, you have to put it in writing. So I went back to my room at school, my classroom, and I wrote, I quit. And I put the date. And then on the way to the principal's office, I heard God. It wasn't an outside voice, but I just heard a voice inside me. And God said, composer in schools and school certificate, music. I loved teaching school certificate music. That's year 9, 10, it's year 11 now. Year 11 music. I just loved that. And so like God was telling me things to come. He said, I'm going to make you composer in schools and I'm going to give you a school certificate music class. I was like, I never asked for that. I didn't even know what composer in schools was. So I got to the principal's office and I gave it to him. And he says, you're going to quit. You're going to quit today. I assume you want holiday pay. Quit effective as of 22nd of February or something. He said, oh, thanks for the holiday pay. Okay, so 1 minute later, I was in the staff room. I didn't know, but the district senior inspector of secondary schools just happened to be there. And she came up to me and she'd found out that I'd just quit. And she said, you're too good a man to lose. How would you like to be composer in schools? And we'll see if we can get you a school cert class. That's a one heck of a coincidence. Jesus said, I will show you things to come. Isn't that amazing? I knew it was God. I didn't even know what composer in schools was, but I knew it was God. So I said, oh, that sounds great. Let's do it. So I had that. I was composer in schools for about 4 years. It's a job. It's a very specialized job. Once a year, the education department appoints one person for the whole country, and they travel around the different schools, and they pull out the bright, gifted, musical kids, and that person teaches them composition. Well, the joke was, I wasn't much of a composer. I'd only written a few twitty songs. You know, I won't even embarrass myself by singing some of them to you. But there again, God was calling things that are not as though they are. He made me composer in schools and I wasn't even one. I'm teaching kids how to compose music, and I had a music degree, so I knew something about what I was talking about, but I wasn't really known as a composer. The university was furious because they like to have their chosen people in those positions. And I tried to do composition in my final year, and they wouldn't let me because I refused to do 20th century composition. It was stupid stuff, like hitting a piano with a dead fish and all these discords, 12-tone row composition. I refused to do it. And they said, well, you can't do composition. I said, well, I would like to do instrumentation instead. And they said, you can't do that unless you do composition. So they really were trying to shut me down. And, you know, God had a laugh. The person that the university wanted to appoint as composer in schools didn't get the job, and I did, and I wasn't even a composer. We can boast in God, you know. We can boast in God. You serve Him, you honor Him, He'll honor you. He'll give you positions you could never get on your own. He'll make you the head of something you don't know anything about just because He likes you. Because you're His kid. I'm telling you, you got favor. I walk in it, I live in it, I breathe it. It's my life. I have favor. Say, I have favor. Because God, who runs the universe, runs my life, and He gives me whatever He wants. And you can say whatever you like. They were furious. It caused such an uproar. And of course, in teaching the kids composition, you know what I told them? Don't do that 20th century stuff. It's a load of rubbish. Did they what? Stop what? Doing what? You lost me. Talk to me afterwards. All right, look, I've got to get moving. I'm getting sidetracked here. So what was I saying? He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. So He wants to show you, you know, about your kids. If there's something dangerous coming up in your life, He wants to warn you. If there's a good deal coming up, God wants to lead you into that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He will lead you into opportunities. I'm amazed at how God just can direct our steps and open doors for us. That's why I say, if you need a job, come here and we will pray with you. And if you haven't got faith, I got more than enough faith for both of us. Okay? Borrow some of mine. Because I've seen God give me amazing jobs that I wasn't qualified for. But He says, if you have faith, be it unto you according to your faith. Or somebody else's. So, we've had fantastic testimonies here of people who have been blessed with positions that they didn't deserve and God just favored them. That's the kind of God we serve. So I'm just sharing all that to say to you what an advantage it is in life to be able to hear God's voice. He can tell you if you're going to marry the wrong person. Ask Him. That's a big deal. It's for life. He can tell you if it's a good job or a bad job. He wants to. He wants to help. He wants to lead you. He says, I will be your God. You will be my people. That's the deal. If you be mine, I'll be yours. Covenant. A swap, an exchange, a sharing of strengths and weaknesses. Would you give your strength and weakness to God in exchange for His strength and weakness? Oh, to know God. No wonder Paul said to know Him. Just to know Him. Wow. Well, God wants you to hear His voice because He wants you to have an advantage in life. So, we should make that a number one priority. How do I hear God? How do I learn to discern his voice? How do I know if it's just me or the devil? How do I know I'm hearing from God? So we're going over a couple of things. In general terms, number one, how to hear from God? Desire. I don't know who said it, but someone said, God had a dream and wrapped your body around it. What do you want? The word says he will give you the desires of your heart. A, he'll put a desire in you, and then he'll grant you the desire that he put in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I have no desire whatsoever to be a missionary in Africa, and I would not last 6 weeks. My wife has no desire to write songs, to sing songs, to record albums. She wouldn't last 2 days. If she was here, she would agree with me. I have heard her sing, by the way, around the house. She's getting bold, and she's not that bad. Where do you think my daughter's got their voices from? But she would be the first to agree it's not her gifting. You know, it's not something she. But you know, I was born with a microphone. I love to sing. I love to play. Sometimes I get so embarrassed. I'm in the shopping mall, and I hear some secular song, and I hear the chords and the harmonies and the melody, and I burst into tears. And I think, God, what is the matter with me? It's my life. There's something in me that wants to sing and write and record songs, and I can't help but respond passionately. I know people sometimes think I'm a fanatic up here. I'm sorry, that's just who I am. I love to sing. But you know, the devil tried to take that from me. What is so natural to you? You think, well, that can't be God. That's just me. That's the whole point. That's the way he's made you. You know, for most of my life, Satan tried to take that from me. Because it just didn't seem spiritual enough. It just seemed so natural. Well, I'm telling you, if you have a desire in your heart, if you want to know what God's will for your life is, look inside yourself. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the searchlight. You want to know what God has for your life? Look inside. That's the searchlight. God's showing you what he wants you to do simply by creating a desire. You think God wants you to live your whole life doing something you hate? That doesn't make much sense to me. No, he wants you to be happy. God spoke to me a couple of years ago and said, I want my employees to be happy. Because I was doing a bit of a moan. And it's like saying, well, what do you want to do? I want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy, whatever it is you're doing. Now, a lot of people will try and talk you out of your dream. Satan is the dream stealer. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Because what you hear either gives to you or takes from you. What you hear, you possess or lose. Which is why teachers are constantly telling kids at school, you're worthless, you'll come to nothing. Because they're authority figures in their life, and Satan's trying to take from them at a very early age. You'll never amount to anything. The number of times I've heard teachers say that makes me want to slap them around the head. God has told me some things, and you can't take that from me, because I heard from God. Now, you might think you want to do something and it's just a bright idea. People can take that from you, but once you've heard and you know that you know that you know, nothing can take that from you. Secretly, deep down in my heart, I've always wanted to be wealthy. But being a Christian, I always thought that I had to apologize for that desire. But where did that desire come from? Did it come from Satan? Satan has kept 90% of the world in abject poverty. He doesn't want you rich. He wants you sick, poor, guilty, broken, and miserable. So where does the desire to be wealthy come from? I've never heard a young kid, you know, primary school say, when I grow up, I want to be on the dole. I want to be sick, miserable, and broke. No, you've got to be in church 20 years to learn that. They all want to be fire engine drivers. They want to be pilots. They want to be astronauts. They want to be superstars. They want to be wealthy. Why? Because the vision hasn't been marred yet. That's God in his purest form, in a child's desire, in a child's dream. Like I said, you've got to be 20 years in church to have all that kicked out of you. Well, I've been praying, God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. And I still struggle. Even now, I feel, you know, and I'm not saying it's from you, but I don't know, maybe just my own consciousness. I shouldn't be talking about money in church. Well, why not? It's your favorite subject. Why can't I talk about it here? We want to be relevant, don't we?
Yes.
By the way, read the Bible. The richest people you'll find are in the Bible.
Yes.
The richest people who ever lived, you'll find in the Bible. And they're all God's guys.
Yeah.
So God spoke to me a couple of years ago, outrageous abundance. Two words I heard, outrageous abundance. And not everyone has a grid for that. But I've been preaching that for years. I haven't been living it, but I have been building a grid for it in my preaching. So when God spoke it to my heart, I was immediately in a place for receiving. What you put your faith in, you make room for. Some people don't have faith for the goodness of God. They don't have room for it. They haven't built a grid of believing for something. They had all that stuff kicked out of them by the church. I don't know why I'm on that this morning, but I tell you what, I reckon the devil loves the church more than he loves the pub. He does a much better job on a Sunday morning than he does on a Saturday night. And he does it from up front. Captive audience. God doesn't want you rich. Rich is wrong. God wants you poor. So you can't help anybody. Because the last thing I want is you helping people. So stay broke. And God doesn't want you healed. He wants you sick. So you can't get out of bed and do anything for people. It's stupid. Sorry. I tell it like it is. I know I don't have my wife's gift of refinement. And I'm at risk of offending people. But if God didn't like the way I preached, he shouldn't have made me a preacher. It's stupid. That's the only word I can think of. There's this kid at school. I just love him. I call him my Bitcoin buddy. And quite often when I see him, you know, like I'll have a class and he'll be in the class. I say, hey, Del, how are you, mate? How's my Bitcoin buddy? And as soon as I can, once I've written the work on the board, I go over and say, Aon, Del, Aon Syndicator. Have you got any syndicator? You haven't got, I told you last week to get some syndicator. And we have this conversation. He tells me about all the coins he's buying. I said, how did you get into this, mate? Because it's not every, especially school kids, you know, all, actually, school kids tend to be more into it than adults. It's kind of their generational thing. He says, I got a brother. He's 21, and he's right into it. I said, oh, what does he do? He says, oh, he doesn't do anything. He made so much money, he doesn't need to go to work now. He just sits at home and does a bit of trading and stuff. And he told me all about it, and I'm into it now too. And I said, oh, mate, that's so good. And I found out that he's been going to Christian camps, but he's got this problem. And he says, oh, I says, are you a Christian? And he says, nah. I says, why not? And he says, oh, it's this rich thing. You're not allowed to be rich, eh? And I said, mate, I said, where'd you get that from? He says, well, you know, that's what Christians believe. It's wrong to be wealthy. And I'm in the process of renewing his mind. I said, have you seen my car? Because a lot of the students say, oh, mister, why do teachers have such crap cars? And It's because they get such pay. And so... I was leaving school the other day, driving my CX-9, first brand new car I ever had in my life. Just under 80 grand that car cost. My brother blessed me with it, paid off my mortgage and blessed me with this car. And my brother's selling his Lamborghini now because he can't use it. My brother gave my family, and there's seven of us, Aston Martins, Lamborghinis, Ferraris. This is at the same time God said, I'm going to show you outrageous abundance. I didn't have a grid for it. And he's just been blessed. Well, Pete is selling his Lamborghini because he can't use it. Before Dennis gave me an Aston Martin, I said to him, mate, can I have a CX-9 Mazda because I want a car I can use. Yes. See, there's all these other cars, they can't actually use them. So, and Jack drove an Aston Martin to Avondale College and parked it in the principal's car park. he just wanted to let him know. Those cheeky fellas, those Watsons, eh? They're cheeky fellas. And you know, I'm just so enjoying having a testimony that God wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to have those cars. He wants us to have really nice cars. I left school on Friday, and as I was driving out, a kid yelled out, "Nice car, Mr. Watson!" When I started teaching, I had a 1956 Ford Zephyr. It had so much rust in it, I bogged all the bottom with aluminium. I riveted all these aluminium panels along the bottom to cover all the rust. Then I painted it purple and gold. Yes. I lived on a hill because you couldn't start a car, especially in Dunedin on a winter morning. The only way you could start it was to clutch start it, so you had to be on a hill. But school wasn't on a hill, school was flat. So I had to push start the car, and I never left school till about 5 o'clock. Everybody thought I was being very diligent. I wasn't. I had to wait till all the sports teams went home. So I didn't embarrass myself by opening the door of this thing and pushing the car down the school driveway. And they're heavy, those things. They're like tanks. And then jumping into the car when it had a little bit of momentum and then clutch start and off I'd go. But I didn't want any of the kids at school to see me push starting my piece of junk. And when we first started this church, we had an old orange Austin Allegro, was it? Do you remember that? Yes. Do you remember that? And okay, so my girls were at Hebron College, and they used to say to me, "Daddy, please, please don't drop us off at the front gate. Drop us off at the back gate." True story. Because there's a lot of wealthy people go to that school. So I dropped them off at the back gate. No one knew that, you know, who their parents were or what kind of a family car we had. Well, we started to improve things a little bit. People started to believe in tithing. Thank you very much. That was helpful. So we started to draw a wage. And we got, I don't know, it was about a 10-year-old car. But it was quite nice. I think it was a Telstar station wagon. And it looked actually quite nice. Do you remember the Telstar station wagon? Well, the first day I took them to school, "Daddy, Daddy, please go to the front gate in our new car." So I drove to the front gate and they got out and they opened the door and they just stood by the car and looked around. Just wanted everybody to... Do you think that was Satan? Hey? Do you think that was Satan or was that God? God wants you to have a nice car. Turn to the person next to you and say, "God wants you to have a nice car." And God doesn't care what sort of a car. You know, there may be even some people here, when I talked about everyone in our family having an Aston Martin with, I don't know, about $1 million each, a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, and my CX-9, which is, you know, see, the thing is, here's the shame of it. I had to ask for a car that was less than a Ferrari, because if I parked a Ferrari out there, I would cause offence here. If I had an Aston Martin, there'd be people, maybe not you, but people who would join the church, who'd say, oh, he's one of those money raking, I know where the offering's going. You don't know where the offering's going. I am miles off my notes, by the way. That's the reason we got the CX-9, because it was the funniest thing. I went to every car sales, just about every car sales yard in the city, with those crates, with those they're up the back, with all those yellow library crates. I took, you know, all six of them and those ones, and I must have thought we were laughing. We put them in the back and just sort of measured them to see if they'd fit and all that kind of stuff. I was, I don't know, about 3 or 4 months trying to find a car, and the last place I went to was a Mitsubishi. And I had my little notebook and I was taking notes, and the guy said to me, listen, mate, let me tell you something. He said, I've only met about 2 or 3 people like you in my whole lifetime selling cars. And I'll tell you something. You'll come back here 6 months from now. He said, you want to know all the details. You want to know everything about everything about everything. He says, you need to be a lot more intuitive. You need to just look at a car, like it, and buy it. He says, I'll tell you why. He says, because you'll come back here 6 months from now, and you'll be on your second notebook, and you still won't have bought anything. I said, you're wrong, you know. I'm already onto my second notebook. I wanted to make that last. I wanted to make spending my $80,000, I wanted to make that last as long as I could, because it just felt so good. But you know, the sad thing is that people can't rejoice. You can, because I've trained you. Hopefully you've been here long enough that people can't rejoice with you. And so I knew, I listened to, it was either Joseph Prince or Peter Tarn or somebody. And they said, you know, buy a car that's somewhere between your average member of the congregation and the top member of your congregation. Say the top member of your congregation's got a Mercedes-Benz, and your average car is like a Toyota or whatever, and then maybe, you know, you could afford to buy a, you know, an Audi or a Mazda CX-9. And so that's what I did. Kevin and Steph, they've got Mercedes-Benzes, so I thought, okay, that's the top. I can't buy a Mercedes-Benz because that'll cause offence, but I can get a Mazda CX-9. So you people limit how we can live. That's wrong. I don't think that should be like that. See, you actually have a responsibility to do a darn lot better than you are, because I want to live right. And people aren't going to follow you unless they like where you're going. So get rid of your crap car and buy something decent. John, you might have to edit this just a little bit before we put it online. Well, maybe this is one of those messages that isn't going online. I don't know. What do you reckon? Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't use words like that. I repent. I did enjoy it though. I remember if it offends you, I am sorry. But I remember Brian Houston swore in a message once, and a lady came up to him and corrected him. She rebuked him, and Brian felt really bad about that, and I'll probably feel bad about using that word, because that's not me. I don't usually use that word. The reason I used it is because that's the word that the kid used at school, okay? And so the Lord said, yeah, well, you shouldn't have done that. He says, but, you know, don't take it too badly. I mean, you said a lot of really good things, and all she went home with was one swear word. You know, what a shame. What a shame. So remember the good things. Okay. Well, honestly, I don't know where this is going now because I haven't got time to... I think, you know, what's God saying here? He wants you blessed, people. He wants you blessed. Oh, good. Okay, I've got to clean up my language now. She seriously needs to come out of Sunday school, all right?
Yes.
So I at least... No. It was something a boy at school said, and I just repeated it. But people, you know, everything about you says something about you. And I had another lesson in the library, and Dell was there, and I was talking. We spent the whole period talking about Bitcoin and God. And he's trying to figure this out because, like, they don't really go together for him. I says, of course they go together. He says, God wants you wealthy. I says, you know why I'm in Bitcoin? Because God told me to buy some. He says, what? I says, yeah, God. So I wouldn't do this if God didn't tell me. He says, it's, you know, it's too scary. It's too, you know, isn't that what all the dope people do and all the drug people and all the, you know, it's yeah, there's more fiat money being used for drug trafficking than there ever will be. Are you going to stop using your cash? You're going to stop using your Visa card because people go online and do stuff with the Visa cards they shouldn't be doing? That's ridiculous, the reasons why people don't get involved. So anyway, so this turned out to be a message all about Bitcoin and my family's fast cars. So I'm... The Bible says, be established in present truth. Chris Valiton, he's a prophet. Now, I wouldn't put myself in the office of a prophet, but I know I have a prophetic gifting. And I'm telling you now, we're living in a season of outrageous abundance. Yes. Not everybody has a grid for that. Not everybody can hear it. Manpreet, come on up here, buddy. Not everybody has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying. But God is saying, I want my people blessed because I'm sick and tired of being the father of a family that's living in rags.
That's right.
Everything about you says something about you. People aren't going to follow you unless they like where you're going. You have a responsibility to look like somebody whose king is their father. Now, if you're struggling, I understand that. There's no condemnation here. If you're, if there's not enough money left over at the end of the month, if you're really trying to just pay your bills, I have lived my life like that. I know what that feels like. I'm not against you just faithfully budgeting and trying to do the best you can. We're all on a journey. But don't make it your dream in life to live there.
That's right.
Okay, buddy. I need you to rescue me. I need you to start saying something sensible, okay? The reason I called this man up is because it's really easy to hear from God. We think it's hard to hear from God. It's not. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if God's going to speak to you, he's going to speak to your spirit through thoughts, through your inner man, not through your natural ears, spirit to spirit. You're just going to get a feeling. You're going to get an impulse. Oh, Pastor, I can't hear from God. I'm not very spiritual. Listen, you'd have to stop being a spirit to stop being spiritual. You are a spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, emotion, and you live in a body. When you die, your spirit's going to leave your body. It's going to go to heaven, I hope. You are a spirit. That's the essence of who you are. And if God's going to speak to you, he's going to speak to you spirit to spirit. You are spiritual because you're a spirit. Why don't you share your testimony with me? Give them the abridged version of of your Uber thing. You know, like you wanted to go to the lunch that we had.
Hi guys, my name is Manpreet. So I've been recently resigned from my job, and I was driving full-time Uber. So we had a recently midwinter celebration. So I drove Uber. I started Uber for a couple of hours. So I said to God, if I have $30 in a couple of hours or 1 hour, should be fine. So when I started, job starting popping on my screen, which I wanted to go for. So I was very happy. So half an hour went well, and then suddenly nothing, no jobs coming. So I was like, God, I said $30, and it's not even, it's about $18. So I was thinking, what should I do? So Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you go there and park in front of McDonald's. And so I said, okay. But I don't think so. It will reach that $30. But God said, I'm telling you, so go. So I went there. I waited. And my wife called me, how's the work going? I said, it's okay. And then she said, okay, you can come. So as soon as I drove the car and passed the lights, and the jobs pop up in my on Uber app, and I was like, okay. So I picked up the job, and at that time we don't know where to go and how much money it would be. So I picked up the job, and it was, so that job makes a total of $29 and something cents. So I said to God, praise the Lord that I got $30. And then I was happily driving back, and God again spoke to me. Holy Spirit said, no, this is 29 and point something. It's not 30. So wait. I was like, okay. And then as soon as I was thinking that, and another job pop on my screen. And I was like, wow. So I went there, and again, I didn't know how much it would be. So at the end, I asked for 30, but God gave me $37. So then God told me that, look, this is just an example for you. You are thinking about 30, but I'm giving you in abundance. So have faith and receive in abundance. That's what God is telling.
Thank you. Give me a hand.
When he says God told me, how did God tell you, Manpreet? It was just like an internal kind of a thought, wasn't it?
I heard Holy Spirit talking to me.
Okay, all right. Well, however you hear, it's a natural thing, whatever comes natural to you. God really wants to help us, and he wants to bless us in our daily job. He wants to promote us and give us good deals. He wants to give us wealth, basically. He wants to look after us. So that's one of the ways God speaks to us, is through an internal voice. It's the closest thing you'll have to hearing the voice of God. For me, it's not audible. It's just an internal kind of a thought sort of a process that's going on, really. Why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask him, say, God, why don't you speak to me? Just give me some thoughts about what you want to say to me. Because God, he does want to speak to you. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I know them. It's a relational thing. It should just come out of a relationship. I was at school on Friday. I was on the way to the bathroom, and I said, Lord, I really need to speak to the principal, because I need to have influence with the influencer if I'm going to have any kind of an impact in this school. The principal is the chief influencer in a school. So you should be building friendship and relationship with people who you know who are influencers. So I was just walking on the way to the bathroom. I said, Lord, I need to speak to the principal, just get to know him a bit better. And just having this conversation with God. So I got to the bathroom, and guess who I met in the bathroom? I don't know how those kind of things work, but it's just a conversation with God, and he heard me. And I guess the principal decided it was time to go to the bathroom, same time I decided it was time to go to the bathroom. So we had a little conversation, and not long. It's not the sort of place you really talk to people. But, you know, as we left, he said, you know, it's so good to have someone of your spirit in our school. And it sounded like a good thing. I'm not sure what he meant, but it sounded like a good thing. It's so good. It's so good to have someone of your spirit in our school. I don't know if he's heard me preach or not, but I think, you know, your employer would be able to say the same thing about you. You carry something. Did you know that? I look across this congregation. I look at you. I think you are people of honor. You are people of character. You have life. And I can see the kids at school. I've got a whole classroom in front of me, and I say, that kid's a Christian, that kid's a Christian. That kid might be, but he needs to work on his attitude. You carry something. You're the light of the world. When you walk into a room, the room lights up because you brought the spirit of life into the room. The science department calls me God's little ray of sunshine. I'm not entirely sure whether I like that or not, but you get the point. And then I said to God on Friday, God, I need to talk to that girl that I yelled at the week before. Because, boy, she really knows how to push my buttons. And I tell the kids, I'm happy, I'm always happier, you can't let me down because you don't hold me up. You never make me mad, never make me sad. If you're a good student, I'm happy. If you're not a good student, I'm still happy. And the kids love it. And I tell that to every class, mainly just to remind myself that I need to be a good representative of life and not judgment and condemnation and putting them down. But every once in a while I lose it because I'm not perfect. And every once in a while I get one of God's special cases to test my grace. And this girl, boy, she tested it. So I yelled at her. And then I apologized very shortly after I went up to her. And I said, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have yelled at you, but you really know how to push a teacher's buttons. But I still felt like I needed to make up to her afterwards. I said, Lord, I'd really love to meet this girl, And then shortly after I met the principal, who did I bump into in the playground? This girl. And I said, I won't share her name. I said, and how's your world today? Whatever, And she smiled and we had a joke together. And I just felt like I built or restored that relational thing. Because, when you yell at a kid, when you yell at your kids at home, it's very damaging to do that. And so I just can't sleep if I know I've hurt somebody like that. But it's like I walk through my day with God. And he helps me with difficult students, with difficult classes. Before I walk into a class, I say, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know about this class. Show me what kind of a step, because you can't treat them all the same. Some classes, it's like, I can set the highest bar and they'll keep it. Other classes, it's like, if I can just stop them from killing each other, I'll be doing well. And if I go in there and try and set a standard like this, I'll just lose that class. I'll lose my temper. I'll end up a ragged wreck. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. How do I know? And you'll have situations at work, difficult situations. God will give you wisdom to know how to deal with that situation, that customer, that person, or your children. Each one of our children are so different. We had to pray about our kids. How do I deal with Rebecca compared to Amy? They're just so different. What I say to one would hardly be like water off a duck's back, but this one would destroy her if I spoke to her like that. So you've got to know how to speak to different people, and God will give you wisdom. He'll help you. God gave you the key to life, success, prosperity, health, abundance, wholeness. When he gave you Jesus, and Jesus said, is it to your advantage that I go to the Father? Because if I go to the Father, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will be your teacher, He'll be your counselor. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your paracletos, one called alongside to help you get through the valleys in life. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And do you think he's going to be with us and never say a single word? Close your eyes. Ask God to talk to you now. Heavenly Father, speak to me. Tell me what you think of me, Lord. Give me a thought. Give me an impression. Tell me what you think of me this morning. You probably think, well, maybe that was just me. Well, you do have the mind of Christ, you know. It wouldn't surprise me if you were thinking thoughts, God thoughts, in your mind. You have the mind of Christ, and he's going to think his thoughts through you. There's no condemnation. If you're feeling condemned, that wasn't God. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Father, we thank you that you love us, and you've given us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our friend, and to talk to us and help us, our counselor. We love you this morning, Father. We thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. We love you, Lord. We love you. Everyone said amen. Have an overcoming, empowering, victorious week. We love you. God bless you. If you're going through stuff, I've been there. We'd love to pray for you. Come up the front and let's join our hearts and faith together. All righty. Have a cup of tea. We love you. See you next week.